I've been working with Ephatha Services for about 6 years. My primary function is chaplain for South Dakota and Southwestern Minnesota districts of the American Lutheran Church. As such, I use sign language for worship services most Sundays, that is with adults and young people who are deaf. I have a hearing loss myself of 88 decibels in my good ear and no usable hearing in the left ear. This happened about seven or eight years ago. So since that time, I have been working with Ephatha Services, and I have tried to accumulate some of the things that are helpful for people who have hearing loss. And this includes the things that you see here and some other things that I'll try to explain a little bit. So maybe we'll just go through what I have here, and that will give you some idea of the things that are available. Now, what I'm talking about now is basically things that are not useful for people who are deaf. If the people are deaf, they normally communicate with sign language and do not rely on special aids. However, there is one special aid that the deaf people use that you should be aware of, and that is the TTY or TDD. That's teletypewriter for the deaf, or telephone devices for the deaf. It accomplishes the same thing. Most of us here are old enough to remember when we had railroad and railroad depots. And in every depot, they had this big machine typewriter with a yellow paper on it. And of course, we always saw the telephone lines along the railroad track. The telephones were used by the railroads for communication, and the communication was by typewriter. And that's the kind of device, those are called TTYs, teletypewriters, and now we call them teletypewriters for the deaf, because when depots closed, many deaf people got those machines, reconditioned them, and used them with telephones. So if you do have such a severe loss that you cannot communicate on the telephone, that is available. The name has now changed from TTY to TDD because there have been so many advances in the telephone devices for the deaf. Mine is a machine that is a little bit smaller than a portable typewriter. It has the keyboard. It has a narrow piece of paper that types what comes over the telephone and what I want to come over the telephone. At the present time, it's necessary for two machines to communicate, hopefully with people on either end. The time will come in the not-too-distant future when a machine and a person will be able to communicate. So you will be able to communicate with deaf people, or if you become deaf, you will be able to communicate with hearing people. That's what's happening in the computer field right now. But it's not possible at this time. Okay, while we're talking about telephone, let me show you two devices that I have found that have been helpful for me. I explained yesterday, or day before yesterday, that my hearing aid has a telephone switch on it, a T-switch, that allows me to, when I turn on that switch, I can turn up the volume on my hearing aid to the very maximum. This device was provided at cost by the telephone company because there was a time when they were plagued with people who could make the right beeping sounds by whistling or adding some device so that they could make long distance calls without paying for them. And so the telephone company was shielding the magnetic coil in the piece you hold in your hand. And when they did that, my hearing aid on the T-switch could not pick that up. So there was a time of about maybe 3 or 4 years when I couldn't use a payphone because that magnetic coil was shielded. So the telephone company made available this little device that you would slip over the earpiece of the telephone, and it simply has an on-off switch, it's battery operated, and that would bypass that shield on the telephone so that I could pick up that magnetic field and I could hear with my hearing aid. I think the telephone company has stopped using that, so this is not necessary anymore. But there still are some phone systems where it is necessary to have this. I know when I visit my family in Nebraska, then I have to have this device because my hearing aid will not pay any attention to that.
May I ask you a question at this point?
Okay.
Does your telephone switch work for the Princess phone? Should we sit?
Go ahead.
Do you want me to speak?
Yes. In Nebraska, they did not work on the home phones. That's when I had to have this device. So they do not work on all of the personal phones. It works on my phone.
The Princess.
I really can't say. I've never tried it on that. I know my the one with the push buttons or the dial in the handset, my hearing aid would not work, and I don't know about this.
Just an amplifier?
Pardon?
An amplifier?
No, this is not an amplifier. This just opens up that magnetic coil. This is an amplifier, and this will amplify both the sound that you would hear with your ear, and it also amplifies the magnetic coil just a little bit, not very much. It does help a little bit, but this is basically to amplify the sound, so that you would slip this over the earpiece of the telephone and hold this to your ear. The disadvantage of this is that you can't hang up your telephone with this on it if you have the desk phone. It prevents the buttons from going down. I suppose on a wall phone it might, but I guess it would hang with this and it might fall off. Yeah. Now this is available. I saw this at Radio Shack. So it is available at a variety of places, and it costs about $15.
Yeah, that piece is still available at Radio Shack.
Okay. And about $15 yet? Or
About that, yeah.
Right. And it has the battery inside, so you have to remember to turn the switch off. And it uses the same size battery as that hearing aid. It's called a size M.
They so often give you misinformation.
Okay? And this, is, to my knowledge, works on any phone to amplify the sound. The telephone company also has an amplifier right in the handset. And this is a rental item. I don't know what's going to happen now with the changing in the telephone company. In all of the phones that I've seen advertised, I've never seen one with an amplifier built in. But my telephone has a little volume control just like this in the middle of the handset between the mouthpiece and the earpiece. And that amplifies both the magnetic coil and the sound.
It's about $1.50 a month.
Okay. Now you know who pays the telephone bill at our house.
And they are. You can purchase them also at... when you buy a phone at the
Dell. The Radio Shack people also make an amplifier that goes between any wall set or disc set that has the new quick disconnect little device plug-in on the handset itself. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing but an add-on that goes between the wall set or the disc set. It doesn't work on a unit where everything is built into the handpiece itself. But it also has a tone control, and I used one of these as a demonstrator and found out that the advantage of having a tone and volume helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could amplify I could change the tone to a little sharper tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear with that. I have a problem with my left ear that's greater than with my right ear, and I found out that with that device I could use the telephone to either ear.
Yeah.
But it only will work in that type of a unit that has the small adapter.
Is this the kind that you just have the little square?
The tiny square plug.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And this thing is a unit about the size of that amplifier laying there. I guess that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
The square one, about this size.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it has a volume and a tone control, and I found it to be real nice.
Yes.
I have a question on amplifying. I have a watch. It has a battery. It's a solar battery, 7-year battery, different than any other watch I've had. I hold the telephone up to my ear, and if I hold it with my left hand, I get a whistle. Is that caused by this battery as compared to the amplifier and the phone?
I'm not much of an electrician. But I would imagine that you are getting a form of feedback. And whether it would be caused by the electric watch or simply that you are getting close to that
if
electrical...
I switch it to the other ear. This ear I don't have the hearing aid. See? I have a problem switching it this ear. So then I try to hold it with my left hand. Yeah, that helps.
you need to get a left-handed watch.
You might try just taking your watch off sometimes.
Well, that's a good answer.
But it's very possible.
Yeah. But I was just wondering if this was probably the
very
problem.
Possible that you do have. Yeah. I've got an electric clock, one of these automatic DC 12-volt DC electric clocks in my motorhome, and every time it counts a second, I see it in the RF gain signal on my CB.
Uh-huh.
And I have a small handset, portable handset, than the CB handset, and I can't use it in the house because every time that thing counts a second, it kicks out an RF signal that you hear, and you may be getting that from your watch.
Same thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I sometimes hear when I'm holding the telephone waiting, when I get put on hold, then I hear a ticking noise. And I don't know if it's, you always hear that. Well, I don't know if you hear that.
I have one other input.
I have given a quick one?
Yeah.
When I came here, when we came in today, we thought it was on your vitamins and nutrition. I know you have a most interesting talk here, but we wanted vitamins.
Okay.
Where is that? What building is that in?
I think it's Shelley 3.
I got into that one instead of here.
I'm sorry I can't be two places. I'd love to be here too.
It's the next one up.
Next one.
Because Shelley 2 burned down.
What they're about, you probably hear more here because we're going to shout at each other.
There is a crowd up there.
Okay.
I had a problem with one of my amplifiers in that every time I went into a store where they were operating fluorescent lights, AC powered fluorescent lights,
mm-hmm.
I had a side tone in that. These are Philips. I sent them back to the company and they sent it back. It was one only, and they fixed it. But that is a problem that can exist, I guess. I didn't know it. I just was the
fluorescent tubes.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You say that's direct?
Well, it's an AC.
Yeah.
It's an AC fluorescent tube, but it has a converter in it that will transmit power that'll affect the hearing aid, if your hearing aid isn't adjusted right.
Because of the gas in the tube?
I don't know what it is. I didn't really know what the problem was. I just identified it in the fact that every time I went into, I finally went into a place and decided that, hey, that's what it had to be, and turned the light on and off and found out that that's what
it's in the ballast. It had all shot with radio signal.
Yeah, it's probably in the ballast.
Radio interference, RF signals.
Okay, as far as I know, that's what's available in hearing aids and assistance as far as telephone is concerned. With the many new telephones coming out, those of you who have hearing aids, I think you have to ask for permission to try them to see if they are compatible with your hearing aid. It took a long time before the hearing impaired community was able to get the telephone company to make sure that their equipment was compatible with hearing aids, and now we've lost that because we've had deregulation that mm-hmm. was supposed to be beneficial to us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we are just benefited out of the things that we really need. That's what happened. I wanted to show another thing that I use with my hearing aid and with a variety of amplification equipment. And this is a telecoil adapter. Now, I recommend that anyone who gets a hearing aid should get a hearing aid that has a T-switch. And that means that you can turn it on that T-switch, and then you can use the full amplification of your hearing aid, like for telephone, and you do not get feedback. So I can listen through this adapter when I have I have an auxiliary speaker on my television set that takes this size jack. I also discovered quite by accident that I also have a portable amplifier in my cassette player. Almost every cassette player has a monitor jack where you can listen to see if you're recording properly. I was attending a meeting and I was asked by a fellow pastor to record some things for him. And so I dutifully took my tape recorder along and a whole stack of tapes, and I was lugging this tape recorder from meeting to meeting, and I could hardly understand what was going on. Sometimes I couldn't. And I was wondering what kind of sound I was getting from the PA system they had. And one day, as I was getting ready to go to a meeting, I put my hand in my suit coat pocket, and lo and behold, I had my telecoil adapter, and I noticed it would fit the tape recorder, and so I plugged it in, and the next meeting I went to, the tape recorder happens to have a level, recording level, and by turning my hearing aid on the telephone switch, I could block out all of the other noises, and I could hear just what came through the microphone. And so I had my own private amplification system that didn't bother anybody else. And so if you don't want people to know you have a hearing loss, and you need more amplification than they can provide, you can pretend you're recording. Now, the thing you have to do is you have to have your recorder on record, but you can keep recording the same thing again and again and again, and you get the same benefit. So if you have a hearing aid that has a telephone a T-switch on it, then you can use this for a variety of things. One of the things that I use it for is this amplification system called William Sound Personal PA that the church we belong to in Sioux Falls, South Dakota has installed, and many, many other churches have installed this. This is a sound system that connects to an existing system. And what you do is add a miniature broadcasting system. You have to have a wire, a transformer, at your existing PA amplifier. Then a wire has to go to a broadcasting unit somewhere in the church building, and then you have wireless broadcasting to this system in the church, and the device that you would have is that size. It's about this size. And it also has, it's battery operated, it's a 9-volt battery, but you have an earplug, or you can use this device. And when I use it, I simply put this up by my hearing aid, and then I plug it in, take out the earplug, and plug this in, and then I can adjust the volume that I want. That system is not strong enough for me, so I need extra amplification, and I get that. Also, the advantage is my hearing aid is for my ears, so I do get some special help in the high tones where I need them. And since my hearing aid does amplify the high tones, it will help me with that system, because that is simply an amplifier, and it will amplify everything. But again, the advantage is you only get the sounds that come through the microphone, and the people sounds, when you get ready for the benediction, people are dropping their books in the racks, very neat, so it's ready for the next service, but sometimes noisy. You don't get that. Or if somebody's child is crying, you have an earplug, so you don't get that sound, and you just get what you want. Okay.
And that system would work so that once it was set up in the church, anybody who had one of these handsets could use it. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes. That is in the room it's set up.
Mm-hmm.
It is a broadcasting unit. The brochure I have is a brochure for an AM system. And I don't have a recent price list, but I understand now you get three of the receivers,
mm-hmm.
and everything that's pictured on that inside page for about $450, maybe a little bit more than that. If there are problems with AM system, they also make an FM system, and this is more expensive. And I don't know how much. I would assume it's in the neighborhood of $1,000. But it is I've only heard one church that installed this system who have had problems with it. And the last I heard, they were going to try the FM system. It had something to do with structural steel in their building. And they're right across the street from Augustana College campus in Sioux Falls. Augustana campus has an FM radio, and somehow their church was an antenna for Augustana's FM. And I'm sure that the church didn't want Augustana type of music during their worship service. Yeah. You had another question?
No, okay. You answered it. Thank you.
But I'm real happy with that system, because I think it is low cost for the benefits that you receive, and because I get benefit from it, I know it's got to be good.
You might mention that you can take that little thing, put it in your pocket, and go up to Holy Communion and still hear what's being said. Mm-hmm. I think that so often that's mm-hmm. something that doesn't, it's a drawback from
it's smaller than this.
Installed in a pew, where you have to sit in that certain place in church.
Right. They do make a little clip-on, like a glass case, like you have. And so you can clip it on your belt or in a pocket, and then you just have the cord go to your ear. Now, for those of you who have ear-level hearing aids, you would simply put this behind your hearing aid, mm-hmm. and you would just tuck it in there, and it would do the same thing, if you had a T-switch. So this has some really nice features about it.
But you don't need the T-switch for this system.
No, you don't need the T-switch for this system. That's right. But this is simply an added feature that you can get and I have found that it's very useful for me in other ways. Okay, I have here also a device that's kind of a, I guess maybe you'd call it a Mickey Mouse device, but I have found it very useful for some people. I had a lady come to me one day, and she said, what can we do for my 96-year-old mother who lives by herself, but who she can't hear? And when we go to visit, we sit on the Davenport, and it's about 10 feet from the Davenport to her favorite chair. And we have to yell at her to communicate. And I had found a device called the one-to-one communicator, and I liked it very well, except for the cost. It was about $85. And then I discovered that at Radio Shack, they make this speaker so that their computers have voice. So this is the speaker Radio Shack uses when they want talking computers. And so sometimes it's kind of hard to find if there have been a run on talking computers. So this also has a 9-volt battery, and this is a microphone off of a cassette player, tape player, and this is an extra length of cord, 20 feet of cord, I got at Radio Shack also. And so I just plugged the two together, and by turning on the volume control switch, then we get some amplification. And so you can talk across, you know, this. The people sit on the Davenport, and she holds the speaker, and they can talk to her. So it's a very simple device. The speaker, at the last I priced it, cost $12.50. The cord was $2, and the microphone, if you don't have a cassette player with a microphone, you can buy it probably for $6 or $8, like that. So for about $20 or $25, you have a good one-to-one communicator that will help when people have a temporary disability, or for some reason or other they don't want to have a hearing aid, or they have a hearing aid and it doesn't quite do the job. Because again, with this, you see, if I were using it, I would simply hold the speaker here by my hearing aid, and people could talk in the microphone. The same people who make that Williams sound system also make a what they call a pocket talker. The pocket talker is simply an amplifier that you put in your pocket. It has a speaker on top. It would be like they had a microphone sticking up here. And if you want, you can have the earplug going to your ear, or you can use that telecoil adapter and go to your hearing aid. And it simply is a directional mic, so that I've tried one, and the speakers were in the ceiling. And by sitting under a speaker, a PA speaker, I could hear better with that. So this was helpful in that pocket talker was helpful for that. So the same people who make that device for public buildings also make the pocket talker. I'm sorry, I don't know what the price is. The salesman who demonstrated it to me said he wanted to talk to me about it, and when I asked him how much it was, he didn't want to frighten me away. So he didn't tell me what it was. But I gather it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 to $150. But I can't be sure about that. So that's the Williams sound. They are people who have done a lot of research in the area of hearing impairments, and appreciated what they have done. Minnesota. Is that right?
Eden Prairie.
Yes.
Likes them. Equipment.
All right. We're back on the air. Now, I wanted to mention, I have a picture of one other device that I wanted to mention to you. And I think the telecaption decoder is a device that is so underrated and so underused that I wanted to talk to you about it. I mentioned last night, I guess it was, at the forum about this. But let me just briefly explain what it is. Line 21 on the TV is the same kind of thing that you see if you're from the Midwest. You see weather warnings. I don't know if other places have weather warnings or not, but during the showing of a television program, suddenly you'll see some lines creeping across the bottom. Well, that's similar to what line 21 captioning is. For people who can't hear, there is an attempt to provide the words of the dialogue that takes place or the sound that is on TV. And the picture here will show what's that like. It happens to be a picture of the Barney Miller show. ABC, NBC, and PBS are captioning things. Now, they don't caption everything. Most of that has to be done before it is aired. A few things are captioned live, but most things are captioned before, so you very seldom have live broadcasts that are captioned. The decoder is the box about that long, about that high, that sets on top of the TV, and it connects to the TV antenna plugs, and if you have a TV antenna or a cable, that plugs to this box. You connect the decoder and the television together, and then if a program is captioned, you get the words that are spoken written at the bottom. I'll just pass that around. That cost about $300, maybe $280 to $300 for that box. And then it will fit on any TV. It will fit on black and white or color. Sears, and it is available at Sears, usually through the catalog order office. Sears also makes a 19-inch portable color TV that has it built in. And that costs about $500. Now, I show this because I think there are many, many people who no longer can enjoy television because they can't hear it. And there are many, many people who can enjoy television because somebody else has to have the set turned up so loud that you're not comfortable in the same room. So this, I think, would be a solution to that. And I think that I think of elderly people who lose interest in life, in what's happening, because they can't even hear the TV anymore. And this would be a way that they could see what's happening on TV. So I think that if you have elderly parents, or if you know someone who is elderly, if you really want to give them a gift, you know, you ask if your parents, like my mother, when I say, well, what would you like to have? Oh, I don't need anything. Well, if they could use something like this, I think it would be a marvelous gift to give them. I'm not interested in them getting hooked on soaps. I don't know which ones are captioned. Surely some of them are. But this is, I think, would be a really helpful thing for people who have a severe hearing loss. Okay, you have a question.
Well, I was saying that these are usually in the TV guide, they're noted with a little symbol.
Right, it looks like a cue.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, I have heard that the networks are talking about dropping this because of the little utilization and the cost involved. Have you known anything about this?
Yes, there was the real threat that this would happen, and it almost happened. But there was an appeal, primarily by deaf people. But I think if we had more people who could use this. I mean, well, I know more people could use it, but they don't know about it. They think of it as something for deaf people, and you know, most of us who lose our hearing don't think of ourselves as deaf. You know, we can hear a little bit, so we're not deaf. But I think that would have such a broad application. And if that happened, then we wouldn't have to worry about losing that kind of communication. And the CBS, who does not participate in that, I think would become involved either in this, or they would complete what they promised to do when telecaption first came out, and that is to provide what they call teletext. And they really were waiting, because that has broader commercial application. With teletext, you could have advertising on constant advertising. You turn on one channel and you have nothing but advertising running across there. Or you could have a weather report station, a channel. And this would just be all printed out, you see. And it could be on a computer. So it could all be done beforehand, and it just runs by itself. You don't have any... once you put the advertisement there, it just keeps running. And then they also said they would provide for the captioning. And they did test this device. The communications department tested this and said the captioning was compatible with this, so it would not be lost, and that would broaden it. And that's really needed. So I don't know how many hours a week are captioned now. The last I heard, about 30 hours. Is there more now?
Well, I was hearing about 20, so I think maybe it's increased.
Most of that is PBS.
Yeah, PBS.
But on the two commercial networks, ABC and NBC, there would be maybe 10 or close to 15 hours a week. So you see, it is not really full television viewing yet. But hopefully, if more people get involved, this would be a more of a commercial venture. And what some people hail as so wonderful, many more advertisers are captioning their commercials. And I always use that time to run the refrigerator, and it just really spoil my viewing pleasure if I watch the captioned commercials. You had a comment.
Oh, I was going to say, when Mount St. Helens blew up, almost immediately, everybody knew about it. All the hearing people turned on their TV around here, and you didn't know if, you know, it was how far it was going to come towards your house, if you were living, you know, Seattle or Portland area. And all the hearing people could turn on their TV or their radio and find out. And this brought up a real important issue with the deaf community, to say, what is our emergency broadcast system to contact the deaf people? If they had something on television that was a visual information, or something that went along with the news, or something that would inform them of a national disaster or something like that, there's a whole culture of people that would be left out. And it was a real issue that was brought up, and I think they're trying to work on that, but it ties in with this captioning now. You know, if it was a universal thing. And we thought television and radio was such a dramatic change in technology, and it seems like sometimes we get stopped, you know, we're satisfied with it, and there could be more for this other group of people. So.
Sometimes we see on our television of like weather warnings, mm-hmm. where they say, please inform your deaf neighbors.
We don't get that here.
They do
that. There's only rain. There's no like tornadoes or Was something tornado?
Thunderstorm.
Well,
life must be boring for you.
We get all election returns that way. We get all the election returns that way.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that comes. They never miss that.
No.
And that's important. I don't mean to imply that.
And occasionally just to we have a mountain blow up.
Yeah, that's kind of important. And that's not local news, because it affected people pretty far away.
Yeah.
All over the world.
Did you get a warning that there was ash blowing your way to South Dakota?
We had ash in the air.
We did?
Yes, we there were warnings that there would be ash, and but it was not considered a danger to us.
Was it across the screen like
that? It was below South Dakota.
Warning on TV.
Captain?
Warning you about the ash?
No, I don't think
so. I don't think so, because it was, we were told that it would not be covering our area. But then there was ash in the air. It didn't come down in such a way that we could see it.
I was in Manitou Springs at the time, although I lived in Seattle. And my daughter's place, and the next morning there was on top of my car, you could write your name in the ash in Colorado Springs.
Greasy too, wasn't it? Just like almost like grease when it gets wet.
Mm-hmm. When it's wet, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's talking of the elderly needing the captions. We had a house full of elderly. That, of course, they lose their sight at the same time, that they lose their hearing.
No.
Any solutions for that you know of?
I think that the captioning, that is a problem. I am aware of that. But the captioning is done rather large, and it would be something that you would have to see to know if it was really helpful. So, now, let me say one other thing about the TV. I mentioned about the extended speaker I had, and I think this is also very helpful, because it allows the rest of the family to have the TV at a normal level. And I put the TV right here by my hearing aid. And if I don't want to hear anything else, then I use this and turn on the T-switch on my hearing aid, and then I don't hear environmental sounds. So that's effective. And I know when she waves like this, I better come to dinner. When she goes like this, I better go the other way.
Or like the kids said the other day, they throw rocks at them.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can do for tinnitus? Plus, I have a hearing loss in one ear, and I have tinnitus.
There's only one thing you can do that I know of, you can do for head noise. And that is to wear a device that gives you a pleasant sound that masks the head noise. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing that I know is being done. By the way, we call the head noise tinnitus. There is an American Tinnitus Association now in Portland. And at the moment, they are simply trying to collect funds so they can do research. And more people have tinnitus than anything else, but there is nothing being done about it, except that in a few cases, doctors who have patients who are just literally climbing the walls because of this. Do you know that some people have tinnitus so bad that if you had that kind of tinnitus, I could hear it? Now, you know, that is bad. I don't know if you have it like that or not. You have.
I can hear it all. Yeah. You know, there's no time I can't hear it.
Yeah. Wow. I'm the same with that. Mm-hmm. I identify at least four different sounds most of the time if I sit and pay attention to it. But I try not to pay attention to it. But that's the only thing that I know about. That it provide, you would wear a device like a hearing aid, and you would simply mask with something pleasant what is now irritating noise to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I used a hearing aid on the left ear where I have a loss, that would amplify the tinnitus out.
No, not necessarily.
No.
Because the hearing aid you see amplifies outside sound.
I see.
In fact, your hearing, wearing a hearing aid might help you, because then you would be introducing outside sounds into that ear, and you would again have more of a balanced hearing. And that, now let me emphasize again, if you are interested in a hearing aid, go to an audiologist, not to a hearing aid dealer. You first go to an audiologist who can give you a complete hearing test, and he can tell you if a hearing aid will probably do you some good or if it won't. He can also tell you if you need a further examination, if you have, you know, some other problem, and he can tell you if you have a conductive loss rather than a nerve loss. Conductive loss can be corrected by surgery, some of them. Okay, if you do have a nerve loss that nothing can be done for it except that a hearing aid will help you, he will graph that out on an audiogram, and your ears have a particular kind of pattern. And so this shows an audiogram, and they can tell you then how your hearing is, where you have the loss, and then an audiologist can tell you by name and by model number which hearing aid would be the best for you. Now, an audiologist is not in the business of selling hearing aids. Mm-hmm. He will say you can use, you know, a Mako number so-and-so would help you, a Zenith so-and-so, a Dahlberg, or whatever. And then you go to a dealer who sells that kind and bargain with it. And then you have 30 days to try the hearing aid. And if you feel it doesn't do the job, then you can turn it back. And the only cost would be for an ear mold and a small fee for a use of the hearing aid for a month. So I think that's something we must remember, that we don't need to buy a hearing aid, and if it doesn't do the job, put it in a drawer.
Be very critical.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be is that a federal critical. Law, about 30 days?
Yeah, that's a law.
Federal. Mm-hmm.
And then I recommend that you would get this book, because it tells you how to start wearing a hearing aid. And there were some surprising things in it. I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was. It tells you not to wear the hearing aid to church the first time you have it on. You should have it all by yourself for a couple weeks so you get used to what it does and doesn't do.
She's a lady.
And it will not restore your hearing the way your glasses restore your vision, but it will amplify sound. That's one of the problems. It amplifies everything, good and bad.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have the same problem he has. I have noise in this ear that, I don't hear it as much with my hearing aid in as I do without the hearing aid.
Mm-hmm.
Now I hear silverware dropping and books being put back, but I don't hear the ringing sound that I normally have in that ear as much. If I just stop and listen, it's there. Mm-hmm. But the volume of the outside sound that I'm getting is amplified to the point where I don't hear that.
Okay.
Did you say that some people have ear noises so loud that a person next to them can hear it?
Yes.
I've never heard of that.
Yes.
What's that caused by?
The doctor explained to me that, you know, those little tiny hairs in your it's in the cochlea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said that the deterioration of hearing, even very minute, causes those little things to move. And when that moves, that's the way you hear sound. I mean, that transmits to the nerves that there is sound, but it simply is. That's the way he described it to me. But he also said, we really don't know. And nothing is being done to learn more about it.
I have noticed that I get a little bit of internal noise already. I inherit it from my father, I'm afraid, and my grandmother.
Believe.
The hearing. I don't know what that means. But I have discovered that so
means
far,
that you inherited it, that's what it means.
So far, I have been able to control it by immediately doing some relaxing. When I start hearing that, I know that I'm tightening some muscles up.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine it's the kind of thing that eventually it's going to be permanent and full time.
Yes, that's true, that stress and strain and having pressure
mm-hmm.
does make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
But also being in loud noises increases it too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay in loud noise over 4 hours, if you have noise that's 90 decibels or higher for over 4 hours, then you are going to suffer hearing loss. So if you have a 90 decebel loss for 90 decibel noise for 8 hours, you are going to suffer loss. So I encourage. We live out in the Midwest where there are a lot of farmers, and I encourage the wives to buy their husbands stereos for their tractors with headsets. And that way they cover their ears and they listen to something hopefully pleasant, the market and not Mount St. Helens blowing. I don't know, I guess maybe most of what you'd hear on the radio. We listen to market reports, and not very pleasant. So.
I wonder, ball games, for instance. He's got the earplug that goes into the TV, so I can even listen to the ball game. Now, wouldn't that be a cheap way to go at the beginning for hearing aid?
If that helps.
And TV.
Yeah. If that gives him the kind of help he needs.
Mm-hmm. Gave me the help.
Yeah. Well, you can. It doesn't sell out. Yeah.
Got
okay,
rid
or,
of the ball
or
game.
Or you can get headsets. And the headsets, if you go a little more expensive, you can adjust each one so that you get the volume you need for each ear. And that's helpful. So I have a jack on the back of my TV that I plug this thing in. I bought one that and I just wired it right into the TV to the speaker, and then that kind of got in the way sometimes. Now I can just unplug it and put it away. If we, you know, want to impress somebody, have the place all neat, we don't have that cord strung across the floor, why we unplug it and put it away. And maybe someday they'll have the kind like stereo headsets have, you know, that coil up and get out of the way. But maybe you could buy that.
Maybe you could get those like they have on the microphones that they carry around that are cordless.
Yeah.
I would like to amplify this audiogram routine that you were going through. See, I have a problem where my right ear is just a loss in decibel. The curve is just almost as straight as it was when I was 15 years old, but it's way down here.
Yeah.
But the other one looks more like a saw blade.
Yeah.
And in this case, I am going to eventually, I think, end up with a different hearing aid in that ear to amplify those frequencies where I have the biggest loss.
Well, yep.
Because this is still a garbled sound, even though it's amplified.
Right. Get an audiogram that tells you what your need is, and then have an audiologist tell you where the best would be. It won't be perfect.
I did that. The problem is that the best for this ear was about $1,000, and I'm trying to get by with something less, and I don't know whether I'm going to do it or not.
Well, I appreciate that, but I went through. I made the mistake myself. When I got hearing aid, I got what just barely served my needs. And that was a mistake because my needs kept increasing. And so I probably spent more on hearing aid by not getting what was really the best for me.
That's what I'm saying. I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I didn't get what was really the best. So that's why I was saying, if you go and do the things, the steps he's gone through, and you get to this point where you're where you're critiquing your hearing aids, be very critical. Go back to the guy, and the guy that I had do this, he actually ran an audiogram of my ears with and without the hearing aids.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get some improvement in this ear in the frequency responses where I have a problem. But I'm now beginning to believe that it isn't enough, and I may have to go back and do something else.
But be sure you're in a bargaining position. Don't let yourself be tied to one hearing aid dealer. This is the danger, is being tied into one hearing aid dealer. If, like in a small town, many times there is only one hearing aid dealer,
mm-hmm.
and where if you had this audiogram and from an audiologist who is impartial, he's not selling you anything, and gives you these different companies and their model number, you can say to this one, okay, what's your price? All right, what's your price? And it seldom costs you, from what I understand, more than $700 for a pair of hearing aids. Right?
Yeah.
Well, he was warned in advance that his hearing aid would be more expensive than average.
There is a good markup on hearing aids.
Yeah, the doctor that gave that recommended the, like yeah. you say, he recommended yeah. a man who sold the kind of hearing aid I wanted, and I was in the San Diego, Los Angeles area. I mm-hmm. could have gone to anybody. I went to the guy that he recommended. He recommended three guys. He has to do that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that was local, a guy who I had worked with before, incidentally, who quit the aerospace business mm-hmm. and gone into more lucrative one, like selling hearing aids.
Well, how much, this is an audio tone, how much did that sell for? Just a standard.
$350?
Yeah, about $300.
$350. I'll put it back on now.
That's what it cost you.
No, it cost about
$350. That's about what we paid.
Yeah,
400 somewhere in there.
That was about 4 years
ago. Well, now, yeah, that's 5 years ago, probably.
That makes a difference.
How much markup do they have? Let's say he wants 400. If you offer 300, can he negotiate?
Well, yeah, I would say that it depends on what you want from him. If you want other services, and this is what many dealers offer, if you have a problem with it, you can bring it in and they will service it.
For 90 days.
They also provide a guarantee.
90 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then, how much is that worth? And
yeah.
So you have to be prepared for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So. I think there is bargaining room, but it depends on how much help. Okay, we need to stop. I just wanted to say, for those of you who have observed what's happened this week, you see that there is a possibility of using sign language. So that is a possibility, and all of you can learn sign language. If I can learn sign language, you can learn sign language. You may not be real fluent at it, but
how
you at least will be able to, pardon?
How many years have you been signing? And when did you first start, and how long did it take?
Well, I've been signing for about 7 years. I took one class before that, but I wasn't really serious about it.